Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. With 35 service bays to get your Mercedes-Benz ready for spring adventures. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
Welcome back to the program. 4 o'clock hour is underway. We kick it off like we do every day with Derek Wills in our Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek joining Will Naughton, me Pat Steinberg. Hopefully your day isn't too wet. It is a rainy Tuesday. Our big topic today, Willsy, has been what the Flames are attempting to build for next season. So 24 games into Daryl Sutter's tenure. There's still 6 games remaining this season, so soon to be 30. But they are 11-13 under head coach Daryl Sutter. But you take a look at some other things and would suggest that this team is moving in a positive direction, or at the very least, is playing well under Daryl Sutter. For you, have the Flames put some building blocks or laid a foundation or started to do that under their new head coach?
They have, because I think he has established a new standard for a number of different things, from conditioning to execution to pace. I mean, the list goes on and on. He has basically said, we are not where we need to be. And I think they've made some progress. This team has played faster. They've certainly been really good defensively. I heard you guys talking about the number of high danger chances they've given up. And Daryl Sutter talked about it during his media availability a bit earlier today as well. You know, the Flames, when they score 3, they've got a really good chance to win games. And that's because they've been good defensively. And Jacob Markstrom has looked a lot like the guy who was, I think, one of the better goaltenders in the NHL over the last couple of years in his last 10 or 15 starts. So good place to start. The biggest issue, or one of the biggest issues this team has had all season, is scoring goals. And they've scored a little bit more of late, but not enough. And when this team loses, they tend not to get to 3. So I think they've come a long way defensively, but offensively, there's still some work to do. And I think that some of that work is work that's going to have to be done off the ice, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the offseason is certainly where I think a lot of these questions will be answered. We'll have a more clear picture maybe of the direction and kind of have a better feel on what this team could be under Daryl Sutter. But yeah, I think in the 24 games, have they played a little bit better? Absolutely they have. They've been better defensively. You know, certainly there's been some very high-pressure situations this season with the playoff race still alive, whether you wanted to believe it or not. They certainly did in that room. And you know, so they thought they were playing with pressure. And, you know, it's always tough to evaluate in this part of the season. I mean, you're probably not going to learn a lot, I don't think, in the next 5-6 games for Calgary if they play them all. I just bottom line how it is. And we talked to Matt Stajan about that an hour ago, Pat. As a player, when you know there's nowhere to go and you're just kind of playing out the string, it is really tough. You're a professional. You're obviously going to go out and do your best and not try to lose games. But it's a really hard thing to evaluate and hard to kind of get a read on things because you are playing with no pressure mm-hmm. and you are just kind of going through the motion and playing through the string. And he's talked about, you know, personal experience in that. So, yeah, I think they've done a nice job being better defensively as a team. I don't think they're playing overly faster just because I don't think they have a very fast team. You know, there's a couple of guys on this team with some speed, but you know, that's been the biggest criticism for a long time. No matter who the coach is, this is not a group that plays overly fast. And so, you know, how do you change that? To Derek's point, I think, you know, the personnel changes this summer are where we get some of those answers. And I've said this to you a couple of times now today, Pat, that, you know, yes, they had improvements in 24 games under Sutter, but the coach doesn't play the games, and the personnel is what needs to change. I think we're all in that agreement now. And if you're not, well, maybe you should be, because this has been, you know, under entire reign of Brad Treliving, this team is ranked 20th in the NHL in points percentage. They are a middle of the pack team, and 20th in the NHL includes a season where you broke franchise records and won the Western Conference. So it might be lower if you didn't have that 18-19 season. They need to make changes, and Daryl's talked about it a lot. They need finishers, and that's the only way you're going to get those results. And until they do that, I can't sit here and say that confidently it's going to be a 180 next season under Daryl Sutter. If they make changes and this team looks different, then yeah, I might be able to buy in. But again, a lot of those answers will come in the offseason.
Well, and for me, whether they make sweeping roster changes, one big change, no big changes, like I do think that they are playing better hockey. And so what is, I guess the hope would be if you're a Flames fan is if that they're not going to, you know, kind of rebuild this group and go about it in that direction. Well, at the very least, when they make their changes, they can go out and maybe grab somebody or acquire somebody that can finish on or at a higher rate. Because I do think that the way they're playing under Daryl Sutter is setting a standard for the way they're going to play next year, Derek. And I do think that, you know, the entire team is not getting blown up. They're not. They're going to have a good chunk of players back from this year next year. We know that. Regardless of what direction they go, there will be roster carryover. And so I think the building blocks of the foundation that is being laid is something that they can build on. I really do, because they are a very strong defensive team. And under Daryl Sutter, one of the best in the NHL. And they have made some significant strides in how much they control zone time and possession. Yes, they have had trouble finishing, and that's not something that you can just disregard and say it'll happen, because it needs to get better. But I guess, long story short, regardless of what they do this offseason, regardless if they make zero changes, if they make big changes to try to stay competitive, or if they make big changes to, you know, look at the bigger picture and build for 3-4 years down the road, regardless, I do think what the head coach is doing is laying foundation, and I do think it is setting them up positively going forward, because I do think that they are playing a pretty consistent brand of hockey right now. It's just going to end up this year being too little, too late.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Pat. And, you know, I kind of break this season up into three parts. So the first part of the season, Jacob Markstrom was no ifs, ands, or buts, this team's most valuable player. And on a lot of nights, maybe even most nights, he was, if not the only reason, then the biggest reason why they were competitive. And then at that time, the team just wasn't playing well enough in front of him. And then there's the middle part of the season where Jacob Markstrom got banged up and he wasn't playing at a high enough level. But the team started to turn the corner, still weren't where they needed to be, but we're getting a little bit better and we're getting enough saves. And now you're into the final part of the season, the final third. And I think the Flames have played their best hockey in the last 10 to 15 games. And a big reason why is Jacob Markstrom's looking a lot more like early season as opposed to middle of the season Jacob Markstrom. You know, he's looking like a legitimate number one goaltender again. He's been, if not at the top of his game, then certainly close to being at the top of his game. And the team as a whole has started to play a lot better in front of him. So I think there are some building blocks that have been put in place, and there are going to be more guys who do come back than guys who don't come back. And I think Daryl Sutter has made it very clear to those guys that this is the standard. This is what I need from you off the ice, on the ice. And I think that's important going into the offseason and into next season.
Daily Flames Roundtable is live on your drive home with the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, Will Nault, and my name is Pat Steinberg. Here's one that we have not talked about today, and I'm really curious. And Derek, I know I sent you the topics late, so I'll kind of go first on this one and let you guys react. But Eric Francis today has confirmed with Milan Lucic that he will indeed waive his no-move clause for the upcoming expansion draft. You know, I like the understanding that I had for the longest time, and I know that this was a handshake deal and was part of the condition of the deal being made in summer of 2019, that yes, Milan would waive his no move clause for the expansion draft, and now we have confirmation that is indeed what is going to happen. And so I ask this question not as anything more than just kind of a jumping off point. So we know he will be exposed, and we know that he is a Pacific Northwest Vancouver product. He's a Stanley Cup winner. He's a leader. He is a marketable face. Can you see how, or can you see a world where the Seattle Kraken would be interested in claiming Milan Lucic if the Flames were to make it worth their while?
I could, but that's the key right there, Pat. There would have to be additional compensation, because let's say Mark Giordano is left unprotected. And we don't know that that's going to be the case, but when you look at the fact that the Flames can only protect three defensemen. I mean, I don't see them leaving Noah Hanifin unprotected or Rasmus Andersson unprotected or I would say Chris Tanev unprotected. I guess it probably would come down to the two veteran guys, but it's going to be a difficult decision. Do you leave Giordano unprotected or do you leave Tanev unprotected? So let's just use both of them so I don't pick one or the other. So you can choose between Mark Giordano or Chris Tanev and Milan Lucic. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. You take one of the two defensemen. You look at how many defensemen the Golden Knights took in their expansion draft, and those guys, a lot of them, turned into assets that they just flipped other teams to improve themselves at other positions. So would they be interested? Sure, if the Flames sweeten the pot. And I don't know what that looks like, but you know, if the Flames were to include a pick or a prospect or picks and prospects, whatever it happens to be, to get the crack and to take Milan Lucic, then I definitely think it could be a fit for them. He would certainly bring leadership and toughness, and he's got, I think, some cachet to his name, having won a Stanley Cup and just played in his 1,000th game. He's been around for a long time, is considered to be, if not the toughest guy, then certainly one of the toughest guy in the league. And I think that when you look at how the Golden Knights successfully built their team, they brought in those character type guys. So I could see it happening, but I can't see it happening unless there's something else included.
That's just what it comes down to for me. I mean, can they take him? Sure. But are you willing to pay the price that it's likely going to take for them to take Milan Lucic? And that's probably what it comes down to, Pat. I think that everything Derek talked about is exactly, you know, perfectly on target and on brand. It's a marketable name. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He could very well be a captain of that team for the first couple of seasons. It's a guy you could have to be a bit of an identity. But the problem is, I mean, we're not lying to anybody. I don't care where he's from on this planet. He's getting paid $5.25 million, and that's probably $3 million, $4 million more than he's due and what he's worth right now. And if you're trying to build a successful team, that's probably not the way you want to go down in terms of, you know, let's be perfectly honest. And if you guys disagree, then you disagree. But I don't see Seattle having a trip to the Stanley Cup final in year one. And if you're Milan Lucic or the Seattle Kraken, like, I just don't see, unless you are going to be that competitive right away, what's the point in taking a guy like Milan Lucic? You know, again, I think there's a way that I can see it, but you're not doing that unless you add a very, very, very expensive sweetener, in my opinion.
Well, okay. Do we see the Flames in like, I don't know, just realistically, do we see the Flames working with Seattle on a side deal for this expansion draft? Because, Derek, you mentioned it. I mean, if whether it's Giordano or Tanev or whoever they end up leaving available, I think that we can all see a fairly realistic world where they work with Seattle on a side deal to begin with. So if you're going to do that, I wonder if you just go down the road of saying, well, hey, you know, because maybe there's a potential that Milan would like to go to Seattle. And I think there is a decent chance he would, especially knowing that he'd get to finish his career potentially close to home. I wonder if, because there's probably going to be a side deal to begin with, and or the very least discussions on that to begin with, I wonder if they can't morph into that and you just include that as part of the sweetener that you were going to throw in anyway to make sure that Seattle doesn't take player A or player B. That's why I bring it up, because I think we all believe there's a chance that they were going to go down that road to begin with.
Yeah, and what would you have to include is what I'm wondering. Here's a question for you guys, and I'm not sure if you know the answer, but if you don't, then that makes three of us. Could the Flames potentially eat part of his salary?
I honestly do not know the answer to that question.
Don't you think it's a good question, draft, though? Because if you eat part of his salary, I think he becomes a more desirable player. And the reason why I think it's entirely possible that the Kraken take Milan Lucic with some additional compensation is because I think about how well Derek Engelin worked out for the Golden Knights. Did anybody think the Golden Knights were going to go to the Stanley Cup final in their first season? No, of course not. I certainly didn't. I didn't think they'd be a playoff team. But they were good way sooner than people thought they were going to be. And Derek Engelin didn't have a C in his jersey, but I think you guys would agree he was kind of the unofficial captain of that hockey team. And the difference between Engelin and Lucic would be is that Engelin was UFA, was he not?
He was.
Right? So they could sign him to a team-friendly contract. So if the Kraken had to take Lucic's entire contract, then I think he becomes a less desirable player. But if the Flames could eat part of it, then I think you have to factor that into the equation as well.
Not to cut you off, because I honestly don't know the answer, but how much is the cap ceiling really a consideration for Seattle early on? Like, it's not in Vegas.
I think it's
first
more
year,
the floor, Pat.
Exactly. So if it's more the floor, why would, like, they probably have no problem taking on the entire cap hit?
Well, if they're going to get to the floor and they're not worried about getting to the floor, then I think they're still going to try to leave themselves with as much cap space as possible, because think about the flexibility that gives you taking on bad contracts in return for additional compensation. You know, I think teams that have cap space have incredible flexibility to be able to build their team a lot quicker, because they can take on somebody's bad contract, let's say before the trade deadline, and get picks or prospects or both just in return for taking a player to free up cap space for another team. So, you know, as long as they can get to the floor, I think they're going to want to keep as much cap space as they possibly can. But if they think getting to the floor is going to be a problem, then they are going to have to take some guys to help them get there. So it's a really interesting discussion. I do think that the Flames will do whatever they can to make sure that they bring back both Mark Giordano and Chris Tanev as the veteran defenseman. And I won't leave them out of the conversation, but I can't see the Flames not protecting Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin. But I think they want to bring those four guys back, and they'll do what they can to make that happen.
Final note for me would just be that, you know, and again, this is just more my feel on the overall picture for the Flames. Like, you're in no business to be making side deals protecting assets. What has this team won? What has this team done where you got to go out of your way to bend over backwards to protect your assets? I just don't see that. And unless you want to continue down this road of middle of the road type of hockey, I mean, you're going to give up assets to protect a player. It just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for me on the surface. So that's where I stand on the other part of that too, to your point about UFAs, Derek, the one guy I keep coming back to, and I don't know what his future in hockey is. Maybe he's ready to call it a career at age 34, 35. But, you know, Derek Ryan is a guy that I see as maybe being the local guy as a UFA who goes to Seattle and signs a new deal. But that's just for me, Pat. What it comes down to is this organization, this team, should not even be considering giving up assets to protect, whether it's a Mark Giordano or a Milan Lucic.
But it depends what the asset is. Like, I without knowing what the asset would be or assets would be, it's hard for me to say what they should do or shouldn't do. But what happens if you said to the Kraken, listen, take Milan Lucic and we'll give you Oliver Shillington as well? Is that enough?
I don't think Oliver Shillington moves the needle for them, Derek. I really don't.
Well, good to have as many young defensemen in your system as you can.
But what's he proven in the NHL?
Well, but as we talked about yesterday, you make a great point, Will. I'm just saying that defensemen do tend to develop a little bit slower than forwards do. And you never know when a guy is going to kind of find his stride. And Oliver Shillington hasn't had much of an opportunity to prove one way or another this season that he is an NHLer or isn't an NHLer. So, you know, it's hard for me to say that he isn't without having seen it with my own two eyes. It's not him. Maybe it's another prospect they have inside the system. Maybe a guy who's a little bit younger and we know less about that the Kraken might think has more upside. But, you know, it's going to be a very interesting offseason, and the expansion draft is one of the reasons why.
What, just quickly before we wrap up, Will, you talk about them not being in that position or they shouldn't. What do you think actually happens? Do you think the Flames would actually, and I'm not even trying to lead you, because I'm very curious as to where we all stand on this. Do you think the Flames would leave Giordano unprotected and not make a side deal with Seattle?
Are you asking my opinion or what I think the team
Your opinion's very clear, but what do you think they would do?
I think they're going to protect their captain and make a side deal to protect Tanev.
Derek?
For optics.
Yeah, I could certainly see that happening. And maybe at the end of the day, we'll really never know who the Kraken would have taken, because the Flames will make it worth their while not to take the guy they don't want them to take. But I think the Flames are going to find a way to keep those four defensemen that I talked about. So the two young guys and Anderson and Hanifin, and then the two older guys in Giordano and Tanev, because I think Daryl Sutter believes those four guys are guys that he wants to move forward with next season. And I know Mark Giordano didn't get off to the greatest of starts this season, but I think you guys would probably agree he's been their best defenseman in the last month, month and a half. So it's not like captain can't play anymore. And once we get back to some sort of normal here, I wouldn't be surprised to see Giordano spend a full season looking like a number one or at least a first pairing defenseman again. So assuming the Flames aren't going to tear it down and rebuild, I think you want to bring those four guys back.
Here's I think that they will make a side deal. I think that they will try to do exactly what you're talking about, Derek. I don't think they should. I'm with you, Will. Like, if I'm them, I risk it. I protect the three. I expose Giordano.
Absolutely ridiculous. And it's like, it's legitimately asinine. Like, it makes no sense.
I think it's horrible asset management. I really do.
Makes zero sense.
Guys,
and if you actually think he's going to bounce back at 38 years old, you are fooling yourself.
Well, I wouldn't even call it a bounce back at this point because he's playing at a really high level right now. But without knowing what additional compensation the Flames would have to give the Kraken, don't you think it's a difficult question to answer one way or the other?
Probably, but just knowing that that's probably going to have to be picks, I wouldn't do it myself. I'd say we're just going to do this, and if you want to go down the road and take a guy who's making almost $7 million at 38.
Well, that's what it comes down to for me.
Like, have at
I don't think
it, right?
Ron Francis is not stupid. He's not taking a 38-year-old on an expiring deal. He's not.
I disagree. If I was Ron Francis, I would take him in a heartbeat because you have to establish that team in that market, and you have to have some good players to do it. So if you can bring in a guy who can be your captain day one, who has won a Norris Trophy, who has won, I think, every award under the sun over the last 5 years on and off the ice, I think he could be the face of your franchise for a couple of years. And, you know, I know he's going to be 38, but he's still playing at a pretty high level. He can help you compete as you try to kind of get a foothold in that Seattle market. And if I was the Kraken and I needed to get to the cap floor and I had to have some good players on my roster, I would absolutely take Mark Giordano.
Interesting. Good talk, boys. Yeah.
We're gonna have lots of time to talk about it. The expansion draft's in July.
We definitely will. And who knows? And who knows what? Like we all have this expansion list and protected list. Who knows if the guys that we have on our protected list right now will be on the roster and on the team by the time it's time to submit that stuff. And again, stuff to talk about for another day. Tomorrow's a game day. We'll focus in on the Flames and the Jets tomorrow. For now, have a good rest of your rainy Tuesday, Wilsey.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. With 35 service bays to get your Mercedes-Benz ready for spring adventures. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.